serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. It is Wednesday. That means it is family night. It's Bible study night at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We are continuing our study in the book of Exodus, and we've only got a few more weeks left in this study, and then we will move on to something else. But want to encourage you, this study guide that we've been going through, it took me a year, almost a year, to read the book. Not because I wasn't interested, but because each chapter was so impactful. It struck me in a whole new way, and it meant something in my life. And so I'd like to encourage you to come out and be a part of our Bible study tonight at 7. We have a class for kids, a class for young adults, and we're also going to be distributing school supplies to one of our local schools here in the coming days. If you're interested in helping out with that, we would be thankful for your participation. We're a small church, but we operate not just inside the four walls of the church, but outside the four walls of the church as well. And so there are several schools that we will be blessing in some form or some capacity this year, and we're very thankful for that opportunity. If you'd like to be a part of a church that exists to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our families, to be a blessing to the church and to the community, to be a blessing spiritually and relationally, we'd like to extend an invitation to you. We'd be honored if you chose to join us and being a blessing to Brevard County and seeing God change and transform lives. So we're going to return for one last program here to Romans chapter 8. And I'll just read this entire section one last time, and then we'll pick up on verse number 38. So verse number 31, or verse number 39, is where we're going to conclude. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so just to remind you of of where we've been as we've been talking about these things. It says in verse number 31, what then shall we say to these things? And there were several statements. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We're not reading every verse here. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that brings us to the place where Paul had written in verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, not because there's a lack of those things, but in those things we are more than conquerors. We have been sentenced to victory. It is a reality that is going to exist. It's going to prevail in our life because of what Jesus has done. It is a always condition, not a sometimes condition. And so it says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So don't think of it as something that is being accomplished because of who we are, but instead because of the surpassing victory that Jesus has manifest into our life. And that brings us to the place where we are persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Okay? So I hope you are living your life with that determination. God's love for you is not fragile. It's not intermittent. It's not, as the world would say, that he loves us and so we can go out and do whatever we want. God disciplines those he loves. So he's looking for us not to suffer the harm and the trauma that sin brings into our life. I mean, I can love people and want them to avoid the very painful lessons of living in a sinful world, but watch them as they continue to suffer in those things, and it can break my heart because I know that that's not the best way to live. I've had several relatives distant relatives that died in drug deals. I've had relatives that were arrested. I've had relatives that died from substance abuse. I've had relatives who their relationship with God was completely devastated because there was something in their life that was more important to them than God was. And, you know, I don't want to be a person that violates my marital covenant, and I also don't want to be a person who violates my spiritual covenant with God. So it says here, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, but there's, again, not a period there. There is another series of words that qualifies that love of God. It says, separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the love that the Father has for us is manifest in Jesus Christ. Okay? So it's not, hey, something good happened to me today. Wow, God really loved. You know, I have the vantage point to be able to see a lot of bad examples. There are a lot of people who try and provide relational bribes, if you will. And what I mean by that is this. They will go and they'll say, look, I'm going to give this to you. Don't you see how much I love you because of this thing that I've given you? I love you more than that other person does. And I want you to know that's not love. That's manipulation. I'm not saying there's not some emotional attachment there, but you know, whenever you're trying to, become a impediment to another relationship because you think it's going to benefit you, that's not the love of God. Many people are under the misunderstanding that because God loves them, he's just going to let them do whatever it is they want to do. That's not the case. Like I say, God disciplines those he loves. And I had a conversation with my daughter, and she made this statement. We were talking about some things that God had spoken to us, and she said, you know, God speaks to you more harshly than he does to me. And I remember that was one of those statements that caught me unaware, and it made me go back and say, I wonder if because of other authoritative relationships that I've had in my life, inside the church, outside the church, whether or not that, you know, I give more credence to the blunt statements rather than I do the whispers of the still small voice of God. So I want you to understand that as I'm teaching here on the radio, I'm not just teaching you, I'm learning myself as well. Here it specifically says that the love of the Father is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God the Father loves humanity, God the Son loves humanity, and God the Holy Spirit pours out that love as well. So God the Father loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So, you know, not only did he come, humble himself, live in the most desperate of physical realities, he did not come into the ruling class. He came and lived in the oppressed class. He came and experienced what it was like to have people seeking to destroy you, all the while he was coming that he might save them. And then he didn't just give him as an example, he gave him as a sacrifice on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. You will never fully understand the love of the Father until you understand the price that Jesus paid. And so the love of the Father is evident in the Son. It operates in the Son, and we understand the love of the Father because of the love of Jesus. So not only did the Father express his love in Jesus, but Jesus also, the Bible says, gave of himself. And so it's not just one member of the Trinity that is loving me. It's all of them. The love and action of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is an undeniable reality. You and I, we need to realize that no matter what happens, God loves us. I remember this goes way back. My retail days, I drove 25 or 30 miles to manage the shoe store. And when my kids were little, whether I was going to work or coming home from work, my wife always prepared the kids for the fact that Dad was coming home. Or, you know, so there was one time my son ran out. At that point in time, I was working 81 miles away from home. So I went and said goodbye to my wife, and my son came out to hug me. Other times when I was coming from work, they would run out to greet me. And not one time did they ever ask, you know, did you have a good day at work? Did you have a bad day at work? They weren't loving me because of the number of sales that I had that day. They didn't know whether someone had come in and chewed me out for something I didn't do, or cussed me out. That happened on occasion too. I think it ought to be a federal law that everybody works retail at least one Christmas season, because you would find that even though it's supposed to be a season of cheer, people are angrier and more bitter and treat people very badly during the holidays. I think we would treat one another better if everybody went and experienced what it was like to live in a frenzied shopping season. Now a lot of that's done online, so if people really, I've had servers say, you know what, I always treat my server really well because I was a server once, and I want to make sure that I treat them better than some other people have treated them badly. So my kids, they loved me because of who I was. I will tell you this, that the love that the Father has for us, the love that He doesn't want us separated from, the love that will prevail during all sorts of hardships through every season, it can only be understood in Jesus. And so when you read the Word of God, I hope you will have the viewpoint that this is not just a list of rules of do's and don'ts, but instead it's a love letter from God. So, and it's an open book. A lot of times whenever a sports figure of notoriety gets traded or leaves one team and goes and signs with another team, a lot of times they will buy a full page in a newspaper, in the local newspaper, and they'll print out, hey, I'm very thankful for this time together, and I just want you to know I love this city. I love the fans and all of that. And they put that out there to say, I'm not going to be here wearing this uniform. Sometimes they're retiring, but I want you to know, I just loved our time together. The Word of God, where Jesus is the living Word, it's the Word that helps us to understand that the Father loves us. I don't like misunderstandings. We're going to be moving over to Romans chapter 12 in our next program. And we'll share some things there that are pretty important to help us in our understanding of living a life of love. And I know that this, you know, there are people who overemphasize the love and don't emphasize the responsibility, but there are some things I want to share there with that. God gave us his word because he loves us. He wants us to know that we are a prized possession. We're the apple of his eye. And that, you know, there was that old television program. I never watched it. It was well before my time. Father Knows Best. Well, not every father knows best, but I can tell you this, the Heavenly Father definitely does. And if you don't love Jesus, you can say that you love the Father, but you definitely won't understand the Father. Sometimes in my earthly relationships, sometimes I need an interpreter where the people that I am communicating to, that they don't necessarily understand the things that I am trying to say. And so, since communication is not just the words that come out of my mouth, but it's the truth that is communicated and received and implemented, I am not too proud to say, okay, I need someone to help me to get the, I need to communicate this in such a way. Now, I want you to know God does not have any communication deficiencies. He is a perfect communicator. If there are any misunderstandings in the communication with God, they originate with us, not with him. If I in my finite mind can understand an infinite God perfectly, then God's too small. So, I've been very very aware of this statement for, you know, several days now. Don't assume you're the smartest person in the room. A lot of people do that when it comes to their relationship with God. They assume that they're smarter than God is. I'm not. I'm a very simple man. I'm on a journey where I am growing. There's a fresh revelations, not, you know, that the information hasn't been there, but just that, you know, God has helped me to put a new understanding on what that word means, to where it moves away from just an intellectual position to it actually gives me an action plan that helps me to understand. Jesus is God's love on display. And his tremendous offer of salvation is hard to fathom, because we're told nothing in this world is free. And it's true. Jesus offer of salvation does not cost us anything for us to receive it, but once we receive it, it will change everything. At that point in time, we will realize that it's not our life. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so once you find the reality that God loves you and is very actively loving you, then at that point in time, you can say like Paul, there's nothing better. If I could summarize this in a Bob Arthur's type of way, okay, it is this. Paul, who had persecuted the church, Paul, who was extremely zealous and very arrogant and very competitive with his peers, when he had that Damascus Road experience, which left him altered physically, it left him altered spiritually, it also left him altered as far as purpose and relationship, and all of a sudden life became a lot more difficult, but it also became a lot more fulfilling. And he said this. This is the Bob Arthur's paraphrase of what he said, I discovered that God is for me. I discovered that God loves me. I've discovered that God is my provider. He's going to provide absolutely everything. I have come to understand that the devil is in the condemnation business and the Father is in the salvation business. I've come to understand that he works all things together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. I understand that the work of Jesus is more than enough to change my eternal reality, and he is praying for me right now, and that there is no challenge that I will face in this life that has the power to undermine the confidence I have that God loves me. There's nothing that's been created, nothing this world has to offer, nothing that hell could dangle in front of my face that would be able to even come close to convincing me that God doesn't love me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I pray today that you will accept the love of the Father that is expressed in Christ Jesus. It'll change your world. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you next time right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.